Polyhedron is a production of Simulacra Studios. You can find us on Twitter at SimulacraRPGs or at PolyhedronCast. If the visual medium is your thing, you can follow us at Simulacra TV on both Twitch and YouTube. If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/SimulacraStudios and sign up to be a patron.
Hello and welcome to Polyhedron, your multifaceted podcast. I am your host, Matthew, and as always, I have my two friends in two little black boxes. I got Ryan.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub.
Wubba-lubba-dub-dub. And Scott.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie.
Oh.
And my brother speaks, and I fucked it up. I fucked it up.
Oh, yeah, you did. You did.
One of us likes big butts.
My brother will not speak against it.
Yeah, exactly. My brother... It's a joke. Anyway, yeah, no.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back for one more go around the sun.
If you're
as they say,
I've got some terrible news.
Yeah, this is your first episode. Well, it's also your last episode.
And apparently, like you know, the episodes haven't been releasing, so. You know, who knows?
We don't know what's going on because people are like, it hasn't been updating on my feed. And then we just realized, oh, it's been like 2 years or something silly. Like,
yeah, because
they're there.
Yeah, they're there. They're on the Podbean feed. I don't know.
We're really sorry.
It just goes shows how popular we are that it's taken this long for someone to notice. And hence another reason why episode 180. Is our last.
It is our last.
Round number.
We've had a very, very good run. I will say that it has been ups. It has obviously been some downs, but it has. You know, we did this. We did this for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Scott and I, and we roped Ryan into this. Originally, it was going to promote like a gaming company we were going to try to build and a game we were going to do and just kind of kept doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it was like there was a time when, you know, we got some good shit out of this.
Oh, yeah,
we got some notoriety, some people knew who we were and such.
I will say that for the most part, our library of podcasts is relatively evergreen. We joke, but if this is somehow your first time, just go back and listen to the other ones when they're all back up, because
I mean the original ones are still on the website. I still have the website. The Polyhedron feed still exists. Mm-hmm. If you want to go directly to Finding Polyhedron Podcast, that still exists. And then we just moved over to Simulacra for about a year-ish.
But that all being said, We've done some awesome interviews with all kinds of interesting people.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
The things they told us are not, you know, it hasn't, none of them have stopped being true. And our opinions, while they have shifted a little, I think some of the more like academic points we've come across, you know.
Yeah, I think we've, particularly in our RPG focused days, we made some pretty astute commentary here now every now and then.
Oh yeah, and I'd like to comment that it's not we didn't shape it or anything. That no, our voices are not that loud, but we did like we were there as the RPG community was growing and changing and, mm-hmm. and maturing. I'd like to think, and we were just part of that wave, as it were.
As we said last episode, like I think we kind of watched. We actually had it was nice to do the show from like the beginning of the online revolution.
Yeah. To
where it kind of fell out, like that was mm-hmm. a very cool and interesting thing to watch and kind of in real, as you know, you can kind of hear it in real time.
Mm-hmm. I think definitely the hard times during the pandemic, you know, when we saw that massive shift.
Yeah,
you know, to from not
were
just
we doing were we doing online recordings at that time?
Yeah, I think we had started that already.
Yeah, I think we would start a little while before that, and they were kind of already cozy in doing it.
Yeah. I think you're right there. Yeah, so I mean, we definitely have been at present monitoring the ship as it's gone through the various rough waters.
yeah. And even the rougher waters in the last couple months, because, you know, Watsy wanted to take a giant shit on the bed. We love seeing late stage capitalism just infect the very hobby that we absolutely adore.
I really love that the company that owns one of my favorite properties ever calls the Pinkertons when someone makes small errors. You know,
I will not let people forget that, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully they will never live it down. And you know, it's a point of pride for any RPG companies who takes a moral stand to not send the Pinkertons after their fans.
Most RPG hear me.
Woke points. You get woke points if you don't send the Pinkertons after people.
You get woke points for not doing the thing. Doing.
The bar is so low.
Also, just FYI, most RPG companies don't have enough money for the Pinkertons.
That's true.
Like, let's be very clear.
Those guys.
Again, RPG from the ground up has been a very much unless you point fingers at like Watsy, or maybe you're starting to get into Paizo with Pathfinder. This is a cottage industry. Mm-hmm. It is generally a couple people talking, using their resources, using a Word doc and their own imaginations to create something out of nothing.
Hey, go ahead, Scott.
No, I was just saying, like, let's go through the rigmarole. Let's talk about some stuff, and then we'll transition over to more of these heady talks. We've got
Sorry. Let's do Ryan and Scott. How you guys' gaming been?
My gaming's been pretty good. Got an adventure game in another adventure game in the can.
Cool.
And I have finished Jedi Survivor.
Ooh.
Which I am very, very bullish on.
Did you get a thumbs up from you?
Did it run perfectly? Was it get glitch free? Absolutely not. Was the gameplay and the storyline fun and compelling? Good God, yes.
Good. I've been waiting. I think I'm waiting maybe for Memorial Weekend when I got a day off and I've got nothing else much planned and I've got some time.
Tears of the Kingdom drop, bro. I'm fucking done. Like, there's nothing happening.
But Tears of the Kingdom?
With Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom out. Ain't nothing else happening. Well, okay, I'll play Xenoblade Chronicles, like, when I need some weird titty anime or something.
But I can definitely, like, without spoiling anything, they are, like, I think they've said that they intend to make this a trilogy.
Good. Yes.
And I can see some places where a third game will go that will be very, very interesting because, I mean, they take the character of Cal into places.
Good.
Like, and I'm really curious to see where they take him in a third installment because he makes some choices.
I mean, every Jedi ends up making some fucking choices.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's almost like it's almost like they're playing out of morality.
Yeah, it's also
in the galaxy far, far away.
That their weird magic system,
yeah,
really puts a hard lean on you for making tough choices.
It really does. I mean, they're not all like dire choices. I mean, he some of the things that he did, I was cheering for. But yeah, no, it was really fun. Also been making my way through Barry and in terms of other media. That's the thing that I'm watching currently. God fucking damn it, that show.
I desperately want to watch it, but I feel like I need to be in like the correct headspace to watch it. And I just haven't been there.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes its own turn. Like it's a very good show, and I'm happy that it's ending because I don't know where they could take it beyond where they're taking it now.
Four good seasons seems to be like that's the sweet spot, you know. You just do four good seasons, and then you're fucking done. And then everyone can go do other shit with their jobs. They can, you know, you have a you can be one of the ones that did it, like that mm-hmm. actually did well.
Well, you just hit my brain a little bit. That's one thing that's changed about me, in my opinions, in RPGs. Getting back to last episode and definitely this episode,
mm-hmm.
the arc, like
yeah.
the start, middle, finish, like close it out. Like things don't need to go on forever. That's absolutely been something that's changed in my brain as far as like a value of it and yeah. using it.
I think we briefly touched on that. And yeah, yeah. 100%, I am in the same boat as you. I am like, bro, the idea of running a fucking game for 3 years or some shit, no, I don't want to do that.
Like, it has to be the right game.
Yes.
Like, I am ready to run the long haul Aeon game. Like,
oh, that yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm ready to play in one. I'm yeah. playing in a long haul game, you know, just the idea of like, willingly engaging and be like, I'm running it till the wheels fall off, baby. Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
I
don't want to do that again. But like in general, I think short games that have confined arcs.
Yes.
Excuse me. That's where it's at. Like in terms of like your bread and butter, like regular gaming, tell concise stories. Like you even have the capacity to anthologize that shit and like say, okay, same characters but a different arc. Mm-hmm. And we can compartmentalize it and you know make it be what it needs to be without having the pressure of an ongoing situation.
Totally. And Ryan, what about you? We obviously know Tears of the Kingdom are yeah, right
I'm,
there.
I'm chewing through the Xenoblade Chronicles games. I'm about 40 hours into the second one because it's been a weird week. So, yeah, they're fun. I mean, kind of slow in terms of how the combat progresses and stuff. So definitely, you know, acquired taste, I would say. Very silly. Like I said, the art style of these games is like comically male gazy, like kind of silly amounts of male gaze. So it's where it kind of comes at the other end and is kind of charming in its own way. It's like, oh, look at all that boing.
Look at that bounce.
What a boing.
Yeah, other than that, yeah, it was Tears of the Kingdom. Just started that yesterday because I just got it yesterday. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Other than like we ran, you know, I played an adventure and that was awesome. Kill Nazi good.
Oh, there's going to be so much Nazi killing next time.
We'll eventually get back and hit our final nail on the head with Witchlight at some point.
Like, at some point, yeah.
It's going to happen, but it's just we have to get everyone together. And my game that I started, my Golden Vault game, due to like life circumstances, just hasn't run for 3 whole weeks. But everyone's forgiven me, so that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll see if I can forgive myself.
You can and you should.
That's the real challenge.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Like, you just get in that weird guilt cycle. That's a thing.
Oh, now I'm a trash baby because I couldn't run because I'm tired.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. I have the real feels because I've started getting some new hires at my job, and they're all, like, in their mid-20s, and I'm like, damn it.
You got them work babies.
Yeah. Tell me about it. But regardless, for me, my gaming, I've done my weekly D&D game, which is great. We are not at the end of the Temple of Elemental Evil, but we're having a big moment where literally there's going to be 2 sessions of it's just pure combat. We're each running, players are running three other NPCs in this combat.
Whoa, like, dude.
Yeah, because we're getting all our friends that we've like helped along the way to fight this big fight. Problems. Yeah, it's some serious shit. There's a hallway of undead trolls, undead ogres, skeletons, 2 hill giants, and we're not even to the main guy yet.
That's a war game now.
Yeah,
basically.
Nothing like a hallway fight.
You're not wrong. That's exactly what it is. It's a hallway with wizards. It's so much fun. As for like other gaming, I haven't do much because my work has just sucked my soul out. Unfortunately, because of work, I wasn't able to go to Gardens of Destinies, and I'm very sad, but I will go to the one day, and I will have a good time there.
Yeah, I skipped that one because of house buying nonsense.
Yeah, I know. Totally understand. Like, you're in the middle of the shit. It's
but real soon, I'm going to have a house.
You will. You'll be yours, and you can do stuff to it, and you can make it your own space. I envy you, sir.
Oh, yeah.
As for other gaming and other entertainment, I have watched... I'm up to date on Ted Lasso. The last episode is this Wednesday, which, good show, go watch. We'll endorse. And I've started watching the show From. It's MGM Plus. It's got some serious Lost vibes. It's,
really?
It's a mystery box. It's a mystery box show. It's, hey, this is the pitch. This is why I want to tell you it's fey as shit. Mm-hmm. There's a place that if you run into this tree in the middle of the road, and there's a whole bunch of crows by it, and then you go backwards, you get stuck in a loop where you just keep going through the same little like rundown town over and over. No turns. You're just stuck there. It's in the middle of like a forest, and there are these things that come out at night that look like people that quickly stop looking like people and literally rip your throat out. Unless you run and hide from them.
I think I've seen some things from this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and they're like, they have in the story, this is no major spoiler. It is introduced in the first episode. They have the only way to keep them out though, is they recently found these talismans that if you hang them up on your wall, they can't break through a house. Like they can't break through unless you open a door or a window for them to walk through. And I'm like, and little creepy stuff that's going on, like stuff about the houses and why they still have power is real weird. It's very cool. It's a very well done little, like, people in one location having to survive.
I watched all of the sixth season of Rick and Morty because it was out on Hulu. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Just diving right into comedic nihilism.
Yeah, dude, it was funny. It was fun. They did that thing. Like, I saw a lot of doom and gloom about that season. I'm not sure where that came from. I mean, I guess people are upset of it. The self-referential humor. Like, it's Rick and Morty. Like, yeah, it goes up its own ass. It's part of it. Like,
but yeah, its own popularity is also a joke.
Side note. I found a Panda Express fortune cookie in my yard that had a blank fortune.
Oh, shit. Ooh.
Which is probably a tie-in.
Yes. The joke in Rick and Morty that always sticks in my head, don't ask me why, is when Morty wants to experience true flatness, like true leveling, gets me every time. Like, it sucks in my head. It'll pop up.
He saw a true level and it fucked him up forever. Like, it's...
and just freaks out.
Yeah, that's a great show. I'm really curious to see how they're going to handle the next season. AI Rick. I watched a reality show called The Traitors, it's a reality game show. And it's basically a hidden identity elimination game. It's kind of like Mafia, like the game Mafia or Werewolf, where you have normal players and then traitors who murder someone every night, and then the rest of the people, then everyone votes to banish someone.
Beast Mode Island.
Yeah, it's that writ large, and then there are like game show like physical challenges in between those where they add to the money pot that everyone wins at the end. And it's fun. It was really, really good until the ending and like the whiff of reality show fuckery and like how everything played out at the end. Like, yeah, something didn't go right at the end here, and they had to course correct real hard.
You never know what goes on behind the scenes of a reality show.
Yeah, it's just like all of a sudden, people forget how the math of the whole thing works.
Huh. That would make me think I was going crazy.
Yes.
like maddening. Like,
yeah, it was a little maddening. I'm like, how are you guys having problems with this decision? Like, you know how the math works.
The math is pretty. Like, yeah, you like have
no. There is no conceivable way that any of you could be under the illusion that like all of the traders are gone at this point. It's not possible.
I see. Interesting. Fuckery, eh?
Yeah, because the win condition is the faithful group. If there are no traders at the end of the game, everyone splits the pot. If there are any traders left, then the remaining traders take the whole pot.
So there is a super reductionist version of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Since fuck it, I'm just gonna talk. I'm gonna tell you guys about some weird shit. Whatever.
Okay, sure. Go ahead.
It's a channel called Jubilee, and it's all takes place in like this weird like LED cage, like Adirondack thing. And they do like weird games, but mm-hmm. they're all like humiliating, weird, or just like, why are you doing this kind of stuff? For example, there are 7 black people and 1 white person. The game will be like, guess who's white? One of the black people has a blindfold on and just asking questions, stuff like, or no, that's right. Everyone is blindfolded of the 8 people. And they all got to vote on who's the white guy based on how they talk to each other. And the more you fool people, the higher the money gets. And if they make it to the end, if the white dude makes it to the end, he gets all the money.
Oh, no.
Even the one I saw, because he just, you know, he had an accent. Like, he had a very strong patois that he spoke, and that just...
It just did it?
Got him in under the wire. I don't know what to tell you, but... If the other way, if he gets eliminated, everyone else gets the pot of money. But it's stuff like ultra, like, aggressive, weird speed dating, like letting your ex-girlfriend pick your next date, sort of.
Oh, weird.
Like, MTV's reality show, people would look at this and be like, I think that's a little tasteless. You know?
And internet.
These are the people who do, you know, the guy who made Room Raiders was like, this is a bit invasive, isn't it? Like, so yeah, that's, I don't watch these things directly, but I watch a number of commentary, like one of my favorite types of YouTube is commentary YouTube. So I, you know, watch these things and just like marvel at them. For some reason, if I get the cringe secondhand or the discomfort secondhand, it's a lot easier on me. Like, I couldn't take some of these blows otherwise.
Right, right. Yeah, that's rough. Like, every now and then a good reality, like, I don't really care about, like pure reality shows.
No, I love a competition reality.
A competition reality show can be fun. If the premise is right and it's not, there's not a lot of, like, obvious fuckery going on.
I love a crafting show. Like, the Bake Off, you know.
Yeah.
Chopped, I don't mind, even though it's kind of like aggressive and weird. Iron Chef is pretty fun, though. I mean, just generally pretty fun. One that they do a lot of these actually. Like, there's the Great Pottery Throwdown.
Yeah, like, yeah. There's a pottery version that they made.
There was a flower arranging one where you had to do like crazy like murals and setups with flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Really neat. There's a show called Blown Away, which is glass blowing. Although that show has some silly reality show nonsense on it.
Dropout, the College Humor streaming service, just did like a 4-part riff on Survivor that was really good because it was all with the College Humor Dropout people.
People,
and
yeah.
So it was super goddamn funny. And it was just a really fun like riff on Survivor. And like they had done one previously. In the previous season, but this time they did the whole thing out, and I hope they make a thing of it because it's really good fucking TV.
Yeah, the only like reality television I really like enjoyed recently, and because I generally don't watch it, is that Physical 100. I don't do all about
that's. I mean,
but it's good. It's because it's interesting to watch people who are in extremely good shape do some crazy stuff.
Everyone loves to just watch human excellence. Like there is, you know, it's just like, oh, these people are just fucking amazing at what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just watch them do stuff. Like,
yeah. I'm totally done with that. We're not going to do any news because fuck it, whatever. You could look that shit up yourself.
Let's bring them all back. Wizards pissed someone off somewhere. Got their Kickstarter funded.
Yep. Yeah, I mean the news. It's always been there.
But... I mean, the only bit of news I have is more of a plug. But Onyx Path Punk Con is coming up in a month.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
And Simulacra Studios will be a featured channel where all of the Trinity Continuum actual plays will be taking place. The ones and not just the ones that I'm in or running.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Like, Mr. Man.
So that'll be fun. Yeah, no, it's good to have a relationship with those people. So.
No, I want to say congratulations to you. Because this sort of wraps up in sort of the milieu of this episode is you have, because of Polyhedron, you have been able to really reach out and connect with a community and connect with professionals to do this sort of thing on a more regular basis. And I'm really proud of you for that, and I'm happy for you. I love that you're doing Aegis.
Aegis. Yeah, I am going to be running Aegis, which will probably be the first ever actual play.
Yes.
I can't say that for certain, but it probably will be, which I'm very happy about. And, you know, so, yeah, tune in. And I'm assuming all that will be up on their channels.
And that's next week, right?
Or this week? No. It's a month from now.
June.
It's kind of in the middle of June, yeah.
Yeah, middle of June. Got it. Middle of June. Don't forget.
Which that'll be some fun juggling of moving and the gods one day and all of that shit. That's going to be a terrible weekend. But a fun weekend. Like, it will be a lot of fun. It's just going to be a lot of stress. And, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, cool. I guess we can get into the headier subjects and just, you know.
I remember when people got real mad that a Nazi character in the Vampire 5th book rolled 1488 on their
die roll. Yeah, that was dumb. That was
remember
very
how
dumb.
Mad we got about that. Remember how mad people were?
No, people are still mad, actually. I've got people I game with that have reminded me in the past about that. And this was like a couple months ago.
One time some edgelord made a really dumb Nazi joke in a book, like admittedly a stupid one, but like, man, it just kind of feels so low key right now, huh? Yeah. In terms of Nazi issues.
that's something I'm not happy that we sort of got to see the arc of in our modern life.
Yeah, just, you know, the fucking fascists and jackbooted assholes infecting...
Authoritarians.
Authoritarian just... shitbags infecting everything, including the things we hold most dear.
Yep. I mean, RPGs as shitty and as broken, what do they call it, broken staircasey, some of this shit can be, it was always been sort of a little bit of a safe haven for a lot of people, and it sucks.
Well, I'm glad we are, the community is trying to wholesale reject it, but when corporate money starts playing its part, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's what
very suddenly the Republican Party, you know, how do you think Bandai votes? Or how do you Hasbro votes? You think they're giving money to Trump? Yeah, they're probably giving money to Trump. You know, whatever. They love it.
Someone who isn't for the people and the worker.
Yes.
Anyone who's
I had something I kind of wanted to talk about that we haven't really talked about a lot in our tenure of Polyhedron. The OSR, like, we've never really had a chat about.
Oh, the old school Renaissance.
The old school Renaissance, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think any of us were really into.
No, we're not. We're not.
No, it's. Like, I am okay with it.
Yeah,
it was. It's interesting. It lets people who like a certain thing continue liking and developing a certain thing, but it was never our cup of tea. Like.
Yeah, I mean, it perplexes me.
Those games were fundamentally worse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were mechanically inferior. You can do anything you wanted, any story you wanted to. Listen, I'm just saying, if you can't tell your story out, like, due to some weird mechanical restrictions of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons, then maybe you need to reconsider it. Or it's just the system you and your friends are comfortable with, and you've been doing it for 20 years. I get it.
It's that nostalgia.
But if some 25-year-old guy walks up to me talking about eight, like, wanting to roll some Thaco, I'd be like, shut up. You know, like,
Oh, actually, what's interesting, because I'm playing this D&D game, and it's a modded version of the original Temple of Elemental Evil. This isn't Return to Elemental Evil. It's the original one, but it was modded for 5.0. But it's can definitely tell it's been modded because of, like, the challenges of certain fights and the loot and a lot of other stuff is geared towards, it expects you to have, like, the amount of gold we're just swimming in is because it's expected to be, that's to be our XP. Like, it's that old.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Gold mattered. Gold mattered somewhat in 5th, but not really.
Not to the degree that this was, and the way that short rests work and a lot of other stuff work. He hasn't had to tweak a lot, but it's definitely from a different era. And I can see why people enjoy the OSR. Don't get me wrong. They want a very particular type of experience. And there is something entertaining with going with more of the grognardy sort of low survivability games, like where you really have to kind of like outthink your GM.
That's just not fun for me.
It just wasn't for me, man. I guess the reason we never talked about it is because like none of us here like that.
It wasn't big on our to-do list and wasn't something we're into.
Like, I don't have time to read up and play the games that I like. I'm not going to waste time thinking about ones I couldn't, that were relevant 40 years ago. You know, it's more, I just like new shit, man. I like the new shit. I'm pretty sure we're finding it down to a better point than we were.
What's funny is the old shit has become somewhat of the new shit, because there are, like, a Morkborg pops in my head. Because Morkborg is definitely built on some little bit of the backbones of the OSR and that old school version, but it's so slimmed down and so presented in a very particular way. It's very setting forward.
They refine sort of a game. Exactly.
But, yeah.
You refine it. So instead of presenting us with a platter of garbage from 1975, you get the modern stuff, which is actually easy to understand and more focused on narrative.
Yeah, like I just, you know, my feeling on it is, why go back when we can go forward?
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to, you know, court contrary. I don't actually have that big of an opinion on this, because it's like, who the fuck are you gonna complain to? Who are you gonna complain to?
I mean, like many people in the RPG space have said, is like, if you enjoy the thing, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah,
you can go do it. You can play any edition you want. I want to go play First Edition Vampire, I can still go do that. That is a possibility.
You're really just kind of shooting yourself in the foot with insistence upon using older stuff, though, because, man, the community, like, that is a, whether or not this is an old school renaissance, you can call it a renaissance, but we're not a big, this isn't a, the hobby ain't that big yet, okay, in terms of just, like, you know, there's only been room for, like, two big boys for, like, all of it, so... I don't know. Like, you're going to have a real...
Well, OSR is just a grouping of a just kind of a collective... It's not an actual renaissance, and just call it that, in that it's a resurgence. It was just a binary resurgence of this particular type of game into some measure of popularity.
Yeah, I mean, it was essentially an indie, a collection of indie projects.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
But it was just going back to the old style, like, and the mold mechanics and punching them up.
Okay, so wait a minute, just to make sure. So did I just, am I taking a dump on someone's, like a bunch of talented people's recent published works? Because if that's what we're doing...
Relatively.
Kind of, but, like, the recent published works is, like revised clones of AD&D, essentially.
Yeah, like, literally taking old school, like, Rollmaster, those types of games, and sort of punching them up a little bit, refining them a little bit, but basically presenting them in a new way,
We definitely talked about this, like a year and a half ago or something. We had...
We've brought it up. We've talked about it. I've seen a lot of, like, really aggressive... Like in the wake of the TSR or the Wizards of the Coast controversy, like, I've seen a bunch of, like, really aggressive, like, you know, well, you should come to the OSR where
we got hookers and blow,
and we're not so woke. Like, there's a lot of anti-woke shit that, like, is same waters.
I am gonna go out here and say
Hold on. No, let's expand on that. That's now what's interesting.
Yeah, no. That's actually a thing. So because of the wizard thing and like the open gaming license and all this other stuff, I saw a fuck ton of people on Twitter, both good and bad, being like, "You should come over here," because overnight the D&D fans just like plummeted and they had to go somewhere, and all of a sudden all these other companies and people started just hoovering anyone that could get in their vicinity, and people saw a dramatic uptick in their sales because D&D fans were like, nope, we are Audi 5000, we are going to go find something else.
And I might be donezo. Like, I might be donezo. Golden Vault might be the last book I buy from these fucking people because I'm just so fucking sick of their nonsense.
The fucking Pinkertons.
I don't even care if someone else signed that check, you know, or signed off on that in a completely different vertical. Because, you know, I work in a company with a lot of verticals. If someone over, like, there goes and commits a war crime, yeah, I get it. I didn't have anything to say about it, but I understand if you don't want to associate with our company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, you suffer the consequences of your association, as it were. Yeah, it is a lot of... some of it was just lighthearted and honest and just, hey, guys, if you want a cool alternative, we're here for you. And some people were just fucking mean about it, like straight up and down mean about it. And I don't appreciate that at all, because the people who designed D&D 5th Ed and all of those people had no say.
So I think these people are having two very different conversations. Half of these people are like, hey, come over here. We'll never call the Pinkertons. And the other one is like, hey, come over here. We're going to let you role play rape all you want. All you want. You want to be a quadroon? You want to be old timey racist over here, kids? Well, we got something for you.
Yeah, I don't appreciate that at all. But I am happy if people found new games they enjoy through a little bit of disillusion with Wizards of the Coast and D&D. Good on you. That's fine. Great. Happy.
I mean, here's the problem. I'm glad. Like, let me just say that I am glad that people are expanding. They're trying new games. That's really good. I have tried a lot of games, and I keep coming back to the same one, so maybe it's just they're my thing. But the problem is the Critical Role babies are just going to keep... But I think... I don't think they're switching off. Or are they Pathfinder?
No, they're not Pathfinder. They're still 5e at the moment. They're starting... They're releasing a new series that's based in their own system and setting.
Gotcha.
That's kind of... It's a little steampunky, a little Cthulhu-y. Like,
yeah, it looked like something Obscura.
Yeah, Candle Obscura.
Okay.
Cool. Which makes sense when you get that popular and you realize you are sort of the flagship and spokesman. You're like, why am I giving money to this company when all that money could come to me?
Why am I giving these shitheads money when I could make all the money?
I don't know how much money they ever gave Wizards.
No, but they're making money for WotC by playing D&D. Like, there is just an indirect, we are freely advertising their game on our show. Yeah. And probably also, they probably wanted, this was probably in the can for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Before some of the shit went down, and then like, oh, let's pull the trigger now because things have gone poorly.
Listen, I'm just going to say that you don't get something called Matt Mercer syndrome without it being an extremely intense gateway into role-playing games, right? You don't get Matt Mercer syndrome. You know?
Yeah, it's...
For anyone who doesn't know, that's the thing where you're really disappointed in your GM because he's not Matt Mercer. Like that.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'm never going to be as active as he is. Never going to be as rich as he is.
I'm not going to have his impressive resume of voice acting.
Yep.
or his funding and time to do it.
Yeah.
Yes. Some people are like, because kind of a sideways segue here, I'm watching someone paint like minis today just because I was tooling around on Twitch, and it's like a guy named Miniac, and he's a very good painter, but I'm like, oh, that's a very pretty mini. Fortunately, you get like, this is your job, is to paint minis. So of course you're very good at it because you can devote all of your time to just doing that. Well, like nearly
happy,
all
he's
of
happy
your
doing
time.
It, I guess.
Yeah, I hope he enjoys it because that sounds like
God, the hell. Pivot would be awful. Yeah, like what is the pivot in that case? You never know.
No. Well, I mean, problem is minis will be around. Painting minis and even generic minis, not like Games Workshop minis, will always be like a thing people are into. Oh, it is just a thing people are into.
I always just feel like a deep sadness at the idea that a content creator on Twitch or YouTube would have to pivot back to like a day job. Like I just find it very sad.
Yeah, it's like you got out.
You got out of that grind. You're in a different grind.
Yeah, but I'm actually really sad. There is a content creator for AOS that for a while he tried to go solo, but he had to go back to quote-unquote his day job. And now he still makes content. He's just a little bit slower about it because he needed the money. He couldn't make enough money doing what he was doing in order to keep himself going.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real problem. Like, it's a grind, man. Being a content creator for your living is just a dangerous, unstable thing to do. Not like you shouldn't try it, but like it's rough. Like
it's rough for a very long time.
Also, like, God, don't fuck up.
Yeah.
Don't fuck up on a hot mic. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's why like some of the older YouTubers that I still follow, like Jacksepticeye and Markiplier, have deeply diversified revenue streams and stuff. Like Mark's trying to become basically a guy who does things in movies now. Like he self-funded his own movie, he wrote it, he's working on it, he still streams, but he's got other revenue. Jack is still streaming and doing some of the game stuff, but he's also like, he's got his own coffee company, he's doing his own voice acting work. Like he's got other ways of diversifying.
Aaron from the Game Grumps is also like
getting out there,
finger in a million pies, that kid. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you have to because it's that thing's not gonna last forever.
Did either of you watch the most recent Philosophy Tube?
No, I have not.
There's a moment. Oh my God, there's a moment that I know that both of you guys are going to lose it because it's so fucking funny.
I'll have to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, I always have to, again, anytime I'm like, there are certain people's videos where I'm like, okay, this one is actually about philosophy, and I'm sure it will make its usual end run back around to capitalism, as it always does, because it's all, hey, it's capitalism, baby. Mm-hmm. Like, how every conversation ends.
It's around when she brings up Left Tube.
Gotcha.
Like, she briefly brings back up Left Tube, and it'll floor you, I promise you.
Yeah, so... Yeah, some of my favorites like Thought Slime also do Scaredy Cats.
Yeah, yeah. Really
fun channel. So, who else had one recently?
I disagreed with his pitch on recent Hellraiser. He was very unflattering on that one. I disagreed.
Yeah, they were way off. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, sometimes they're off. Sometimes they're like, I don't know. I think Mildew got a divorce at some point, possibly.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. But, like, maybe... I feel like they're going through a thing. Also, it's just like, hey, I'll tell you what. I can, like... Well, that was my favorite Hellraiser, so I can't agree with that. It's like, that was my favorite one. So, like, it had the most... It was the most coherent one.
That is absolutely true, because the first two Hellraisers, to me, feel like they need to be, like, back-to-back. Like, you have to watch them back-to-back.
They're basically, like... There's just a lot of that's picked up and dropped, you know, a lot of stuff, but not much payoff. There's like, at least like there was an arc to the story.
I will give you the most recent Hellraiser is the most movie. Like it feels like a movie.
It has a structure. There's an arc.
Yes.
There's moving parts to it that all kind of interlock.
Also the priest, she's just fucking
like a configuration.
Fun. Yeah. The hell priest is amazing.
She's amazing. Okay, my favorite line in that movie is when all of the traps and shit like clang shut And she just looks around like, all of this for me? Like, it was just like, oh God, I found her cute. Mm-hmm. Like, that sucks.
That sucks. Yeah, it does, don't it?
I always love a good trap, you gotta trap the devil scenario. Mm-hmm. Like, I love where you're like, you're a normal person and you've got to use your wit and grit to like figure yourself out a way of against something that is far more alien and powerful than you are. It's far more interesting.
Yeah. Oh God, that reminded me. It's a part in the more recent LA by Night series, New York by Night. And like, it just reminded me of a really good delivery of a line where it's a Bria Iyengar, her character, her Ventru. And she's like, she's got this guy in an alleyway and one of her coterie mates is there too. And she just like goes up to her coterie mate and like whispers like, hey, can you kill this guy for me? And like the way she delivered it is all like, I'm for it. That got me. That was the hottest thing I've ever fucking seen.
Okay. Okay.
I guess I'm going to do that. And the guy's like, all right.
I guess I'm going to do that now, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else we've been watching, experiencing. Oh, yeah. I won't lie, Scott. I love Harry Spotter.
Oh, yeah.
It's so stupid. It's a little clever. It's really stupid.
Well, that's part of a massive trend.
Yep.
Of like AI voiced AI, like fucking an AI image.
But it was also kind of clever because somebody had to come up with what's interesting is the impetus behind them is like somebody came up with this idea of like, mm-hmm. what if I presented it this as X or Y and then presented it to you as like this weird what if alternate reality.
Alternate reality. There's so many good ones. Like there's Balenciaga, which is like
Balenciaga is a big one.
High fashion. There's like the Lifter one.
There's a Lifter one. There's the everything as an 80s horror or action movie.
I haven't seen those. The one that's most recent are like the Wes Anderson remakes.
Oh my God. Yeah, you don't know that. Oh, what was the one?
The Grand Simulation for the Matrix.
That's it. Yeah.
Sorry, I just searched it. Hermione Granger.
Yeah. No, they're so good because they're all AI like mouthed, so there's some lines from the movies and the books.
And they have this uncanny animation to them.
Yeah, but they're also like it's super, it's Harry, it's Hermione and the gang super fucking jacked. Yep.
Yeah.
Like just everyone is super jacked. And you just and also like in the Harry Spotter ones, there's like a story.
Yeah,
like it's Harry has to lift the forbidden weight because he looked in the mirror and he saw himself lifting the one thing he most desires, lifting the forbidden.
Voldemort. No. Voldemort. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I love that. My love of the absurd. The AI, I will say, AI shit is just if you love absurdist stuff. It is an endless well of absurdity. It is.
I mean, telling an AI to make normal hands is probably one of the funniest things you'll ever fucking see.
Getting better. Getting real good at it.
GP4 figured it out. But like, yeah, I bet that took a lot. I see a lot of hands.
I really enjoyed those. Those just kind of got me, especially the Harry Potter ones, just because there was a story to them. Yeah, like some of them just like, here, let me present to you Diablo 2, but as an 80s horror movie. Like, and there's some really cool images, and they just put the music behind the stills, but this actually had like images and voiceovers, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna pay attention now. What the hell is going on? Yeah, there's not much more to go over, I think, everyone.
You know, we've been
some stuff we like. How about that? That's some shit.
We like stuff. We like stuff.
And to avoid this podcast literally just becoming
that
of shit we like, that's why we have to, you know, we have to bid it good night. We've said what we needed to say.
Yeah, we've said a lot of real great things, and Scott alluded to, I have, and this is me going a bit nostalgic. As like, I will miss this. Not that I don't love and talking to my friends, and I'll continue talking to my friends, but this gave us a structure of communication, a structure of presenting things we enjoy and arguments and new perspectives. And I cannot never fault this, and I will never and always look back at this with great fondness and joy.
I mean, as will I. I mean, it's given us a lot of really good times, great conversations, excellent opportunities, and I will definitely remember this fondly. And the fact that it, you know, will never go away until the grand internet storm of 2082.
The heat death of the universe.
And eventually the AI cloned versions of us will have an infinite podcast 1,000 years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
And only a couple of years, you could run all our episodes together and then have infinite episodes for you to consume.
Yeah, they're going to basically just take all of Polyhedron that was ever recorded, completely clone us, clone our speech patterns, everything, the shit we talk about.
Work through like a psychological AI where it, it breaking down our psychologies based on what we say.
Or used to do, or how we died in a terrible hellstorm of bullets and danger about 50 years ago. during the Third Water War.
The Third Water War.
And then they'll create another version of the whole podcast where it's all about weightlifting.
Then
it'll be
Swollyhedron. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Swollyhedron.
Swollyhedron. Yes.
That fucking got me. Go where your fun is. Go lift some weights.
Go.
Oh man, I will miss.
We'll actually get some fucking like some endorsements of like actually creatine and whey protein.
We never got that $40 hold music because
we never got that $40 hold music.
Blue Apron and their Child Hunting Island never came into our.
A little behind the curtains for the audience. We were never popular enough for anyone to come and say, hey, we'd like to give you money if you promote us on here. We never really actively sought out promotion.
We've always been funded by the patrons.
Yes, funded by the patrons, funded by ourselves.
And for those of you who are with us, and have been with us all this time, and if you've stayed listening to us, even after the last year has kind of changed gears, Jesus Christ, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
I cannot believe that for the last 7 years have actively chosen to listen to me talk, which is just confusing in a lot of ways, but I'll take it.
Yeah, let that rub up against your imposter syndrome and just cause some chafing.
Dude, it has. It actively has. I remember we went to the time I went to Night in Question. And we basically got I basically only listen like you guys. You guys are the news. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding on me?
I don't like that.
No,
you should definitely not. I'm a dummy. I'm a dumb boy. You shouldn't hear. No one should do what I say.
Yeah.
Especially not on this podcast.
I've been very thankful and very fortunate that we had so many great guests through the years. All have been good guests, all have been good people, and we've learned so very much from them and their experiences from behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's amazing who will come talk to you if you just ask nicely.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing who will do an interview if you just ask politely.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, most of these people are in cottage industry. They're in a cottage industry. There's only a couple people who are like legit employees of the company. They're likely little LLCs, and that's it. And it's very informal, and they'll just come talk to you because they want the publicity. They like the thing they're doing, obviously. I think that's one industry. It's like, I don't know people who go into making RPGs that don't like RPGs.
I'm sure there's some corporate soulless husk somewhere in Hasbro that Yeah, I'm sure that has to interact with it and fucking loathes it.
Once you go corporate, that completely goes
out. Yeah, but that's an echelon that almost no RPG company has ever reached other than D&D. Like, it's just that level of disconnect that you actually need people, manpower, people that aren't a part or somehow interested in the thing you're making or doing. Especially entertainment. Like, it's an entertainment thing.
Right.
Yeah, I've enjoyed. I learned a tremendous amount because not just from RPG stuff, I did writing, but also like just audio. I became a decent audio editor, decent video editor. I had to self-teach myself. I was self-taught in a lot of these things.
I sure do appreciate you guys learning all this stuff, so I didn't have to do anything. I was just showing up.
Well, yeah. I knew the writing on the wall that you two fuckers weren't going to do much, so I had to do it.
Fair enough.
And of the two of us, Scott really stepped up.
That's true.
I didn't, because incapable. But, you know.
Your cable just wasn't your thing, and we knew it wasn't your thing, so that was okay.
I make it the funny mouth, is what I do.
Yeah, I make it the funny noises.
Plus, I pay $100 a year to have an automated thing do it for me, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We're closing out here. Any more comments or thoughts, guys? Anything at all? Everything.
This has been a hell of a time. Really appreciate every listener who's ever listened to a show. And don't let the specter of authoritarianism steal the things that you love from you.
No, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think what you just reminded me of something very serious, Scott, and this is going to sound so bad, but don't let your dreams be dreams.
Oh, yeah, you know, just fucking do it.
Just do it. And
do it.
I remember trying to do polyhedron for a little while, especially towards the beginning, and that kind of made me want to do polyhedron. It made me want to do subnet. It made me just like the idea of Shia LaBeouf just going, do it. Like, just do it. Whatever you need to do the thing you want to do, do it.
If you can find the time and the world lets you.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely, 100%. And not everyone can do it. But if you can do a little bit every day to get you towards the thing you like, keep doing it. It may not pan out. Polyhedron didn't pan out exactly the way we originally envisioned it, obviously. But that doesn't mean it wasn't worth something. It didn't have value. It has a tremendous amount of value. And your dreams have value.
I think what my compatriots are trying to say, and let me just leave it at, I love you all very much, and thank you so much for the time you spent with us. Don't let the bastards grind you down.
No. Yeah. No. RPGs have always been a sanctuary. They were a sanctuary when I was growing up. They were a sanctuary when Scott and Ryan were growing up. A lot of people my age and even younger and even older, they were a sanctuary, and they should continue to be so. So be nice to each other, be inclusive, listen to each other, but also tell good stories and be willing to bounce off each other, because that's where sort of the magic starts happening, mm-hmm. sort of pops.
Unless you're Chad the Paladin, in which case, get the fuck out.
Fuck you, Chad the fucking Paladin.
Fuck you, Chad. God damn it, Chad. But we love you nonetheless, and we accept you for who you are.
It's fine.
Fine.
We're not gonna like exclude you because you're big muscles.
Yeah. So from everyone here at Polyhedron, with all of our heart and all of our soul here, go where you find us.
Go roll some dice.